This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have our editor's picks of the most intriguing audiobook releases for February and March of 2019. We have some great winter listening choices for you, including an interview with Adriana Trigiani and a review of her latest novel, Tony's Wife, read by Eduardo Ballerini. We'll follow those with reviews in fiction. Let's get right to it. Editor's Picks, the most intriguing upcoming releases for February and March 2019. From author Angie Thomas, we have On the Come Up. Listeners have been waiting for this sophomore novel from the author of the blockbuster The Hate U Give. It's also narrated by Bonnie Turpin, who won the Audi Award for Best Female Narrator for her performance. From Jill Abramson, we have The Merchants of Truth, The Business of Facts, and The Future of News. A look at the future of both old and new news media from former New York Times editor Abramson. It's read by January Lavoie. From Jane Harper, we have The Lost Man. We loved Stephen Shanahan's narration of Harper's suspenseful Australia novels. Here, two brothers cope with the death of their third brother in the remote outback. And it's read also again by Stephen Shanahan. From author Marlon James, we have Black Leopard, Red Wolf. Dion Graham narrates this adult fantasy based in African history and mythology from the author of A Brief History of Seven Killings. From Tom Clavin, we have Wild Bill, the true story of America's frontier, first gunfighter. A new biography of Wild Bill Hickok separates fact from fiction, and it's read by Johnny Heller. From Elizabeth McCracken, we have Bowl Away, the saga of a New England family and the candlepin bowling alley they own. It's read by Kate Redding. From author Toni Morrison, we have The Source of Self-Regard, Selected Essays, Speeches, and Meditations. This essential collection of nonfiction from Toni Morrison will be a must-listen, read by Bonnie Turpin. From Jasper Ford, we have Early Riser. When the human race hibernates each winter, of course there has to be an organization responsible for watching over the sleepers and protecting them from harm. New absurdity from the author of The Air Affair, and it's read by Thomas Hunt. From Isaac Mizrahi, we have I Am a Memoir. Hear the designer's life story from Mizrahi himself. From Don Winslow, we have The Border. Winslow concludes his series with this sequel to The Power of the Dog and The Cartel, with DEA agents, drug runners, a corrupt government, and asylum seekers at the border. It may sound all too familiar. It's read by Ray Porter. From author Anne Leckie, we have The Raven Tower. Sci-fi author Leckie turns to fantasy in this start of a new series. Adjoa and Doe won earphones for Leckie's provenance, and this book is read by her as well. From Bill Konigsberg, we have The Music of What Happens. Two boys fall in love over the course of a summer in this new novel from the author of Openly Straight. And two narrators share the telling of the story, Joel Frumkin and Anthony Ray Perez. From Lisa C., we have The Island of Sea Women. Women divers on the Korean island of Jeju are at the center of this historical novel from the author of The Tea Girl of Hummingbird Lane and China Dolls. The reader has yet to be announced. From Tomi, Adeyemi, we have Children of Virtue and Vengeance. The highly anticipated sequel to Tomi Adeyemi's celebrated young adult debut, Children of Blood and Bone, the reader to be announced. From author Dave Eggers, we have The Parade, a dark story about foreign contractors and all they don't understand about the unnamed country they're ostensibly trying to help. Reader to be announced. From Harlan Coben, we have Runaway. Harlan Coben's thrillers were made for audio. Here, the pursuit of a runaway daughter leads to untold dangers. The reader to be announced. From Barry Lopez, we have Horizon. Lopez reflects on his years traveling to far-flung, natural places around the globe. The reader to be announced. From Jacqueline Winspear, we have The American Agent. Maisie Dobbs investigates the murder of an American correspondent just as the Germans are bombing London. Orla Cassidy returns to narrate the latest installment in Winspear's beloved series. From author Nathan Englander, we have Kaddish.com. In this satirical novel, a son enlists a website to recite the Jewish prayer for the dead for his deceased father. The reader is to be announced. And finally, from Leila Lalami, we have The Other Americans. When a family patriarch is killed in a traffic accident, unseen connections among a diverse community become clear. And again, the reader has to be announced. Okay, now we will turn our attention to some hot four big winter listens. A little heat for your winter. Our first review is an earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today in Four Big Winter Listens is The First Conspiracy, The Secret Plot to Kill George Washington. It's written by Josh Mensch and Brad Meltzer, and it's an earphones winner read by Scott Brick. Brad Meltzer utilizes his skills as a thriller novelist to great effect in this true story of a plot to kidnap or even kill George Washington in the early years of the American Revolution. Scott Brick adds to the enjoyment with a gripping narration. Meltzer's pacing and straightforward writing style adapt well to audio. Brick, in turn, makes the pages come alive. He varies his volume during dramatic moments, at times almost whispering. He also varies his tone, enhancing the drama but never overpowering it. He effectively captures the author's sense of triumph as the plot is exposed and Washington is safe. This work is an excellent example of the perfect melding of text and narrator. Richard C. Gottschall wrote that review of The First Conspiracy, The Secret Plot to Kill George Washington. It's written by Josh Mensch with Brad Meltzer, and it's an earphones winner read by Scott Brick. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 11 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have North of Dawn by Nuruddin Farah, read by Sam Dastor. Narrator Sam Dastor becomes the stern patriarch at the center of this drama about a Somali family living in Norway. His grim tenor sets the tone for Grakalo and Mugdi's dilemma when their son is radicalized and dies as a suicide bomber in their homeland. Should they take in his widow and children, though they disowned their son? Dastor gives voice to pain, loss, and politics that circle around their decision to help Walia by bringing her and their grandchildren to Oslo. Listeners will hang onto every word as they are drawn deeper into this story of immigration, isolation, and extremism. Dastor highlights the personal side of a story based on world events. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of North of Dawn by Nuruddin Farah, read by Sam Dastor. It's available from Penguin Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in our four big winter listens, we have How Long Till Black Future Month? Stories by N.K. Jemisin. It's an Earphones winner read by seven talented narrators. A stellar cast of seven narrators takes turns performing this collection of shorter pieces by science fiction novelist Jemisin. Each narrator drills down to the core of the story, developing believable accents and highlighting the characters' personalities. Listeners will be impressed with how complete each story feels, almost as if this were a collection of novellas. Jemisin opens the audiobook with an explanation of how she came to write these pieces, some of which were later expanded into novels. The stories stand on their own, but share themes such as feminism, otherness, relationships, motherhood, power, fertility, and dreams. Listeners will appreciate the mix of settings, including a futuristic New York, a Katrina-suffering New Orleans, and off-planet settlements. This outstanding audiobook is the season's must-listen. Candace B. Levy wrote that review of How Long Till Black Future Month? Stories by N.K. Jemisin. It's an Earphones winner read by seven talented narrators, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 14 hours unabridged. And finally, in our four big winter listens, we have Free Fall by Jessica Barry. It's an Earphones winner read by Hillary Huber, Carissa Vacker, and McLeod Andrews. Carissa Vacker, as Allison, commands our attention from her first words. After a private plane crashes into a mountainside in Colorado, Allison awakens to find the pilot dead and her instincts on high alert. With the skill of one familiar with the outdoors, she gathers whatever supplies she can find and flees the crash site. We sense she's running from something, but what? Enter narrator McLeod Andrews, menacing and devious as the man. As Allison's estranged mother, Maggie, Hillary Huber is also completely convincing and compelling. Maggie learns of the crash and Allison's presumed death, but since there are no remains, she refuses to believe it. As Maggie uncovers her daughter's secret life and Allison eludes the man, author Barry and all three narrators keep listeners spellbound. That was a review written by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, of Free Fall. It's by Jessica Barry, an Earphones winner, read by Hillary Huber, Carissa Vacker, and McLeod Andrews, and it's available from Harper Audio for 12 hours of unabridged listening. Just a reminder that you are listening to the brand new February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that helps you to discover the world of audiobooks. All right, now we will have our conversation with Adriana Trigiani. Audiophile's Josephine Reed spoke with author Adriana Trigiani about her novel Tony's Wife, narrated by Eduardo Ballerini. This is an excerpt, but you can hear their full conversation in a bonus episode of our podcast, Behind the Mic, with Audiophile Magazine. Just go to our website at www.audiophilemagazine and look for Behind the Mic. Josephine Reed, to begin with, just give me a little bit of the thumbnail sketch of the plot, Adriana. Adriana Trigiani. Sure, it's the story of the music of the last century for the working people, so it's the story of big band music, which really defines the last century when we look at music as an art form, because it came from the working people. It rose out of the coal mines and the steel mills and the factories, and of course the ultimate voice of that sound was Frank Sinatra. And I wanted to write about the women that I come from, who were born at the turn of the last century. During the 1920s, if you were a woman, a young woman, you worked. You went into factories to work because manufacturing was booming. And the Great Depression hit, and women worked all kinds of jobs during that. And then during World War II, when most of the young men went off to war, women took their jobs. My two characters are Tony and Chichi. Tony is originally named Saverio Amandonado. He is working at the River Rouge plant in Detroit on the line making cars. And Chichi works in a blouse factory with her sisters and her mom in Sea Isle City, New Jersey. They meet one summer when Tony is singing with a big band, and Chichi's highest dream is for her sisters to sing with a big band. They have a little act, and she writes the song. So it's the story of these two people and what happens to them over the course of their business and romantic life until his death. Joanna Reed. Josephine Reed. In terms of research, that's a lot. Adriana. Yes, it is. But there are things that happen in the world or in life that trigger the development or the blossoming of an idea. And with this one, it surely was for me a few things that happened. The death of my mother was a pretty central. Another was my father's record collection and his collection of books, one being the autobiography of Henry Mancini, which played a big role in writing the novel for me. Another factor was a concert I went to at Carnegie Hall with my uncle and aunts and their friends, totally by accident, after I got out of college and was living in a boarding house. I saw Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet at Carnegie Hall, which was one of the great nights of my life. I wanted to write a working couple that are married and sing together and show that life. Music happens to be something we all love. We consume it. So I wanted to dive in and get my hands in the dirt with the songwriting, which I had never done before. Joe Reed. I wanted to ask you about writing those songs. It seems like a very hard thing to do. Adriani. When Chichi's words came to me, they were songs that would have been written for my grandmother's kitchen or my great-aunt's kitchens, certainly my mother's kitchen. But they're funny. So there's a song, Gravy, Gravy, Gravy. Well, for Italian Americans, that can mean your sauce, but it can also mean you made it, because gravy means it's flowing like a river, the dough, the money. And I also wrote a song called Mama's Rolling Pin. And that was, you know, you make dough, I make dough, we make dough with Mama's Rolling Pin. But it was also the billy club that the wife, the fictional wife in the song, uses to keep her husband faithful. In big band music, just like any art form, we're always trying to find ways to really engage our audiences. The big bands were dance bands, you know. They had a boy singer and a girl singer, that's what they called them. And Chichi fit into it in that she could arrange music also, which is what Henry Mancini started out doing. And then you begin to write and compose. So she was always trying to get her music around in those days. If you could sing, you could find a little recording studio somewhere. They were everywhere. They were on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. They were in the small towns. And Chichi's father, Mariano, turns their garage into a recording studio, which was the thing to do back then. I tried to make the story organic to this family to show that this was a family business. So I play out the story of their love affair and the way that their family survived it for good and for ill through the years, against this family business that you could not compromise because it sustained the family. Love could come and go sometimes between the man and the woman, but you had to keep the business going. Joe Reed. This is the second book of yours, I think, that Eduardo Ballerini has narrated. Adriana. I hope he does every single one going forward, too. I hope, as long as I live and write, that he does them. He's astonishing. Eduardo just brings a book to life. He has a facility with tone and texture and voices and context, and he engages you in the story so that you care about it from the beginning to the end. And that concludes our conversation with Adriana Trigiani. And here's a review of Tony's Wife, read by Eduardo Ballerini. One is delighted by Eduardo Ballerini's warm narration of this audiobook. First, time and place slide into focus as Ballerini navigates regional accents, male and female dialogue, and slang. Then, the timely song lyrics of protagonist Chi-Chi set the mood. Finally, the larger themes of love, sacrifice, ambition, and independence emerge like a crescendo of a big band number. Ballerini offers a personable performance that matches the characters themselves. Chi-Chi, the songwriter who is determined to make a future in music, and Severio, Tony of the title, the crooner who overcame his own troubles to become a star of stage and radio. There are moments when the pace slows down, but overall, this is an engaging listen. Leslie B. Fine wrote that review of Tony's Wife by Adriana Trigiani, read by Eduardo Ballerini. It's available from Harper Audio for 12.5 hours of unabridged listening. Now we'll turn our attention to our reviews in fiction. And our first review today is The Lost Queen by Senia Pike, read by Tony Fruten. It's an earphones winner. Set in 6th century Scotland, Pike's debut novel is the first of a planned trilogy exploring the Arthurian legend. The story is told from the point of view of Langworth, an historical figure and twin sister of Leilocan, the man who inspired the Merlin legend. Narrator Tony Fruten does equally well with female and male characters, imbuing them with strength to survive the harsh and brutal times, but also showing the subtleties of character that makes them multidimensional and memorable. Fruten creates an atmosphere of tension as the proponents of the new Christian god seek the demise of the old way and the druids, the wisdom keepers. She sets a strong, steady pace that makes the hours fly by. Joyce E. McCarty wrote that review of The Lost Queen by Senia Pike. It's read by Tony Fruten, and it's an earphones winner. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 17.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Melmoth by Sarah Perry, read by Jan Kramer. Listeners will be slowly drawn into the story of Melmoth the Witness, aided by Jan Kramer's deliberate and eerie narration. Helen Franklin, a briskly voiced woman living in present-day Prague with an eccentric older woman as her roommate, allows herself few pleasures as punishments for a transgression she committed decades ago. When a scholar friend leaves Helen's documents he collected as he obsessed over legends of Melmoth, the witness of humanity's darkest deeds, Helen finds a name for her own haunted feeling. Kramer narrates the documents of atrocities around the world and through the centuries, with subtle accents leading the listener through tales of evil acts and complicity. Kramer amps up the drama in the final act, leaving listeners shivering and wondering what they themselves have just witnessed. Emily E. Connolly wrote that review of Melmoth. Sarah Perry wrote it, John Kramer reads it, and it's available from Harper Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Winter Soldier by Daniel Mason, read by Lawrence Dobiesch, and it's an earphones winner. Lawrence Dobiesch's steady, unaffected narration brings precision, dexterity, and conviction to a story built on meticulous detailing. As narrator, he is clearly at home in several European languages and is capable of suggesting a character or state of mind with a shift in volume or tone. Set in the Carpathians in a makeshift hospital on the Austro-Russian front in World War I, Mason's epic romance is impressively informed on the geopolitics and the medical and military practices of the time. Here, a steady and steadying voice is welcome. The surgeries are grim, and one's heart breaks at the treatment of shell-shocked soldiers. You might ask, Haven't Hemingway and Pasternak and Barker already filled this particular shelf of fiction? Even so, the writing is superb, and Dobiesh's subtle and simpatico reading holds you, hour by hour, and in suspense until its final minutes. David A. Walton wrote that review of The Winter Soldier by Daniel Mason, read by Lawrence Dobiesh, an Earphones winner. It's from Hachette Audio for 11.5 hours unabridged. Finally, today we have Becoming Mrs. Lewis, the improbable love story of Joy Davidman and C.S. Lewis. It's read by Patty Callahan. It's written by Patty Callahan and read by Lauren Woodward. Lauren Woodward expertly narrates this captivating novel by author Patty Callahan. The main voice is that of Joy Davidman, an American writer, atheist, troubled wife, and mother of two, who begins a written correspondence with English author C.S. Lewis in the 1950s after a spiritual awakening. The voice of C.S. Lewis is warm and jolly in his letters to Joy, and Woodward layers even more emotions into his character's tone when he and Joy finally meet in England and spend days discussing God and Christianity. A large cast of characters surrounds Joy and Lewis's love story, both in England and in the U.S. Woodward gives each a different voice, switching smoothly between them. Filled with endearing characters and a hidden love story, this audiobook is a must-listen. Veronica Thames wrote that review of Becoming Mrs. Lewis, the improbable love story of Joy Davidman and C.S. Lewis by Patty Callahan. It's read by Lauren Woodward, and it's available from Thomas Nelson for 12.5 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today. But I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have an In the Studio talking with producers Paul Rubin and Allison Larkin about bringing Paul's book of short stories, Terms of Engagement, to audio. After that, we'll finish our reviews in fiction, including an Earphones-winning review of Kate Morton's The Clockmaker's Daughter, read by Downton Abbey actress Joanna Froggatt. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.